CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Monday morning. How does it go?
Coronavirus.
Can you do that laugh? Can anybody do it?
It's more cackle than a laugh.
How does she do it? It's really, it's horrible to, let me find it quickly. Hang on a second. Let me find this woman laughing. I do love her laugh. Hang on.
Guess what, big? Coronavirus!
I will not get old.
I do love that laugh, though. It's like a real witch's cackle. All right, it's chilly, it's Monday, it's the 1st of June. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, since you went into your Rip Van Winkle slumber in March, on the 26th of that month, you have woken up and it is suddenly June. There are 2 months of your life, maybe even two and a bit, that have been wiped off the face of the earth and out of memory. It has been called lockdown.
Guess what, bitch?
That's right.
It's a new day. It's a new week.
Yes.
It's a new month. It's a new season.
Leanne, you sound way too optimistic. Does it have anything to do with the bottle stores opening up again?
It has everything to do with that.
That's gotta be our laughter, right?
Coronavirus.
All right. So.
That is all that's keeping her going right now.
Coronavirus.
You know, I watched the rocket launch on Saturday night. What a high I had just watching that. It made me so happy. I don't know if it's just because I've been in lockdown and I haven't really had a chance to, I don't know, let loose, enjoy myself properly. Maybe there hasn't been that much news that has been good. I mean, if you look at all these the riots that are going on in America at the moment, and you know, it's depressing. And then you see something like that and you think, okay, there is a good side to humanity, and humanity can occasionally show off how marvelous we are and how we can venture forth and how we can explore and we can raise ourselves up. And I saw that thing taking off. And funnily enough, in the back of my mind, I imagined that once they'd taken off and they'd hit like the edges of the atmosphere, we would hear,
yeah.
It's me, bitches. I'm in the capsule, coronavirus.
I honestly just like out of nowhere, that bitch popped up and she was in there.
So Cardi B should have been the Earth's ambassador going out to space.
She has infected my brain to the point where I now visualize her as part of the SpaceX mission.
Interesting.
I swear to God, it's the weirdest thing. And I just started laughing.
Next thing, you'll be painting a mural of her.
Well, I was thinking of that.
A mural.
A mural. So Leanne's very excited. Today is the bottle store opening day. Straight after the show, she's going to wheel her mother, who's in a wheelchair, to the liquor store.
Well, you know, it's become a little bit unsexy because...
it wasn't sexy to begin with. You're basically abusing a disabled person to get wine.
I'm talking about the whole getting hold of wine stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seemed kind of like fun and, you know, naughty in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And now it's opened up all over online. I did go to my normal store yesterday,
yeah,
just to, under the guise of buying food, just to check if the shelves were stocked up. And they were.
Oh, well, oh, well done.
Yes.
You just went to have a look, did you?
They're all lined up there. Shiny.
She was so excited. She actually did a site recce. Yeah, you did a recce.
Yeah.
I did a little recce.
That's amazing. You went there. You didn't buy anything. You just went to go and check.
Yeah, it's like a decorated Christmas tree when you go out into the square to look at the lights.
That's amazing.
You marvel just at the sights.
It's just unbelievable how excited you are about this. So good.
So I've also ordered online.
Yes.
So I do have an arrival at 10. So I need to make sure I'm out of the store by then and home.
Look at you.
Oh, you are not taking any chances of not getting your hands on anything.
And then more arriving during the week.
Sure. You know what's going to happen, though, is everybody, because we've been deprived, and this is human nature as well. Mbulelo, I'm sure you know this. There's probably some term for it that you're aware of that I'm not. That when people have something taken away from them, that feeling of loss is so much greater than the feeling of gain when you get something. Right. Mm. This is well known among psychologists, is that if you have what you have, and you've, let's say you've got your phone and your wallet and your car keys, and you've got 200 rand in your wallet. If I steal that 200 rand out of your wallet, the feeling of loss of losing that 200 rand is worse than if I give you 300 rand.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
So yeah.
Now what's happened is we haven't been able to buy liquor for a long time. Some people are, you know, alcoholics. Some people just like to drink. But much of South Africa we have this very strange relationship with alcohol. It might have to do with our history. It might have to do with the fact that we grow so much wine here, that we're a beer-drinking country, that we're a binge-drinking country. The DOP system might have something to do with it. I've been paying Leanne on the DOP system basically mm-hmm. since the beginning of the show.
No versions.
And that's why I'm massively in hock to her after the 3 months of lockdown. So I'm going to have to – that delivery that she's doing, that she's getting today, that's actually from me.
That's from you.
And it's coming in a truck.
Yeah, it's like it's been building up. But whatever the reason, we've got this relationship with alcohol. And now, because we've had it taken away from us for a couple of months, people are going to go over-buy. They're going to – because you've had it taken away – you're going to feel like you need to stock up in case they take it away from you again, which is irrational because it's unlikely they're going to suddenly take it away from you again.
I don't know. We could
see
level four.
Yeah, but this, you see,
I want to hold my breath there.
That's your paranoia coming in. And I don't disagree that the government make irrational decisions, but it's highly unlikely they're going to re-ban alcohol. And it didn't do all the things that they hoped it would do. I mean, the University of Cape Town just released a study about the smoking, for example, that 90% of smokers were able to get cigarettes and continued to smoke through the lockdown, despite Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma saying, oh, well, she's going to try really hard to get people to stop smoking. Well, it did not work conclusively. They surveyed some 1,200 smokers from all over Cape Town, and they discovered that those 1,200 smokers in the southernmost point of Africa, where you would have to go to the most trouble to smuggle in cigarettes, considering there are no planes landing with passengers, etc., that place was absolutely drowning in fake cigarettes. So people aren't going to change their habits just because government say so.
And you may see something else. I don't know what the term is again for what people are going through now, but what people are experiencing.
You? Mbulelo,
stop being a bitch. Sia.
But we may see the return of something called reactance, which is the other one, where people fear their freedoms being taken away. So reactance is the one psychological term which we've seen lots of suffering from.
So in other words, everyone's going to be day drinking today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. The fear of you buying like 1,000 bottles of wine is because you fear your freedom.
I don't have a fear of that.
Oh.
That's what she's hoping.
No, your fear is that it may stop. Your freedoms may stop. That's called
the
reactance.
I never wanted to stop.
You are not going to reason with Leanne.
Can't you tell you're dealing with a kid before their birthday, before they get to unwrap their presents. That's what
Let the good times roll.
There's so many of those ads around at the moment and videos where people leave sweets or a snack in front of a child or a dog and then leave the room and tell them they shouldn't eat it.
The food snack challenge.
Yeah. If you had to do that with wine right now, you'd come in and I'd have red wine stains all over my muzzle.
My roommate took leave today.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, he's got what you might call has a drinker problem. And he's taken leave today. And he works like in IT, in a serious job.
Yeah,
he's got a proper job.
Functional alcoholic.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
He's, is he taking leave for the sole purpose of going to possibly stand in line?
Don't look for deeper reasons.
That's a drinking solution, not a drinking.
He's going to be the first person at the bottle store. He stated it yesterday. He's taken leave today because he's going to get hammered. It's wild scenes. And I wonder how many people in this country are doing that.
He sounds like fun. Does he live near me?
Is he single?
You could have found Leanne's husband.
I sure. think so.
Well, no, my parents would be super proud.
No, we can set it up, Leah.
A functioning alcoholic IT person.
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
There we go.
All right, so who did anything fun over the weekend because we were still in lockdown? I mean, now the curfew ends, so there's no more curfews. Tonight you can actually be on the road at 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, you can't just be arrested for whatever.
What are we going to do with that?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't really that excited about driving around anyway. I found it quite convenient an excuse to not be able to travel anywhere. I mean, I had a couple that I've been friends with for years around here on Friday, and the two of them came for dinner and we had drinks afterwards, and they stayed because I've got a spare room, and it's kind of nice, you know. It almost feels like a little holiday. And
shakes up the routine a bit.
Yeah, it felt kind of like you know those sleepovers you have when you're a kid, and then you don't have the night doesn't have to end. Like, you know how when you have a house party or you go out with friends, and then there's some point in the evening where it's usually me, I'm like, all right, I've had enough now, I think I'm going to go home. In this kind of situation, you know, you don't have to leave because home is just go to bed, really.
Yes.
Yeah, you can brush your teeth, wash your face, and then continue drinking.
You don't have to get in an Uber and then, you know, get home and then get all your shit together and get ready for the next day or anything else. You're like, no, I've pretty much blocked off tomorrow morning, so I'm good.
I remember with sleepovers, for some reason, we'd always sleep on the floor, even though there was a bed, because it was just more fun. And then we would, before we went to bed, we would make elaborate snacks. And then we would wake up in the middle of the night and then have a midnight snack. Or we'd try to not fall asleep, so we'd have the midnight snack.
Sorry, I did the wrong laugh.
So. Coronavirus! So, but,
yeah.
But Gareth, before you talk about your utopia of freedom, I thought there was still exercise limits today.
Utopia of freedom? No, of course there are. There's still lots of limits. This is level 3. We still have 2 more levels to go until we return to any semblance of civil liberties.
No, and you're not supposed to be able to visit your family, if I read correctly. It's all about essential services.
Yeah, still like that.
Sorry, I've been visiting my family since level 5. So.
I don't care.
Okay,
I don't care about these rules. I'm not putting anyone else in danger. And I don't see any reason to follow rules that don't make sense. So they can't arrest me now post-fact because they can't prove that I did anything wrong. And I reckon if you prevent people from being with their family, maybe their friends, you have an argument, you know, in a massive national crisis or whatever. But if you prevent people from seeing their family, then you are, by definition, a tyrannical government. I mean, unless you're a criminal who has broken the law and murdered someone and has to be put in jail, even there your family can visit you. So I don't see how that's sensible. And I wasn't putting my parents at risk or my sister or, you know, my brother. I saw my little nephews and they had a little sleepover. Well, I mean, it was supposedly a little. They went out and they camped under a tree in their garden. Now, that's exciting.
Ooh.
But in winter, I thought they were insane. They decided to do it. They had, had blankets and had their sleeping bag. I mean, you go out in winter now and the frost will take you, like in The Walking Dead.
It'll start with your balls.
It'll start with your balls.
Leanne, how do you know? What? Never
because
mind.
It's happened to me before.
Leanne used to have balls, yeah? And then she went out on a cold winter
That's
night.
Why she doesn't have them anymore. Okay. Okay.
All right, so there's quite a lot to talk about this morning. We will get into the SpaceX Dragon flight, and that's just amazing. We'll talk a little bit about the bottle stores opening, as if we haven't done that already. We'll talk some more about the big news of Level 3 and what's going on in the world. And I thought that we'd go to some listener emails and comments, too. If you are listening to us, you can get hold of us on 0797482090. So apparently, there's a company, according to Devon, that he works for. They have a risk policy in place for this week due to alcohol being available again, expecting people to not show up, making sure guys are not working alone or traveling distances alone. Isn't that interesting? That is a very forward-thinking company. Huh? Wow, Devon. Very cool.
Yeah, very realist.
They're not trying to police people. They basically have a risk policy in place because they know people are going to misbehave.
It's like budgeting for fines.
Here's someone. This is from Andre. He says he had a braai over the weekend with a vast amount of bootlegged gin. What a treat. Nice.
Mm.
How's that?
How's your liver?
People were getting busy. We also watched Spatial. This is very badly written, but I'll give you a break. It's early in the morning. She says, we looked at the space launch 2 from NASA TV. I feel good, even though COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. So clearly someone has hit the bottle early this morning. Sean says, the bottle stores are going to be bloodbaths this morning. I managed to stock up fully yesterday. Don't ask, don't tell, but I'm sorted. Praise Jeebus. I will be driving around at 9, pointing and laughing at the folks in the queues. Huh, how did you...
He just said don't ask.
Yeah, he's not going to tell us, but somehow he got ahead of the curve. Very clever.
I know a few people like that.
Very clever. And then, this is amazingly cool. Someone who listens to us in America called Jared sent me a picture of him wearing a CliffCentral.com t-shirt, which he made. And he's made CliffCentral.com t-shirt. And it says on the back, it's a quote of mine. He says, don't count the listeners you reach. Reach the listeners who count. Isn't that the coolest thing?
Sure, you could make money off of that.
I want one of those. It's absolutely awesome. Thank you, Jared. What a cool thing to see.
It's very cool. We want a cut in it.
No, I don't want money from him. I'm just glad he's made a t-shirt. Quoting me.
That's what the Podfather does. Adam Curry. He has other people who make the podcast. It's very cool.
That is cool. But we did something similar a while ago where we had a competition for people to come up with, liners and ideas for us, and there were some very good ones. All right, and then someone asking for Sean Sanders, if he's on this Thursday, to talk to us about some of the stories going on in cryptocurrency. So we'll get to that when Thursday rolls around. And you could always send us a question, a comment, to 079-748-2090. All right. What is the time? Got to keep an eye on these things, otherwise we get carried away and we talk nonsense, and then before we realize it, it's like 1:30. One thing that won't be happening this morning, Anthea is not coming on with the money shot. We've decided to change things up a little bit there, and I'll tell you more about that in the next couple of days. So stick around. If you came especially for Anthea this morning, you're going to be disappointed because we're doing things differently. I mean, we'll have Anthea on again to say hi and to talk to her a little bit about what's going on, but we're changing the money shot. So that's something else that we're going to take. New month, new week, new everything. New stuff.
New season.
So Mbulelo was talking about something just now that made me think. These people who are reacting to getting their freedoms back, whether it's being able to buy liquor or being able to move around after curfew. And by the way, the curfew thing made no sense. It's just really to make it easier for government to monitor people. But the curfew idea is quite a big thing, because really the last time that South Africa had a curfew was during apartheid, and the curfew was for black people who lived in townships to not be in urban areas after a certain time. So there's a lot of history there, which is very painful. And it's interesting that this government brought that back for no real reason other than that it makes it easier for them to administer stuff, because they would have known deep down inside that that would trigger some people's memories. And maybe they just don't care, or maybe they thought it was more important to override that concern with a concern that they could police the country. But I wonder also whether people will be engaging in riskier behavior just because they've got their rights back.
I think so.
You think so?
People have had enough. They've probably already started doing it. I mean, are dying for a little bit of freedom.
And a little bit of risky, stupid behavior, right? I mean, we've basically all been really good children, or most of us, even if you've bought a little illegal alcohol or some cigarettes, or you went to stay over at a friend or whatever. That's hardly like breaking the rules, you know. Those are not things that you would have done, that you wouldn't have done if you could just buy cigarettes or buy alcohol or just go and visit your friend. You wouldn't have thought about it. It's not like any of those things are still going to be illegal and were before. But maybe you will indulge in behavior that could be quite risky just because you took those things for granted before. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, yeah. I think we will see a bit of that going around right now. I'm still content being here at home, though.
I have to say, I didn't really leave my house very much over the last 10 weeks. I pretty much have been a homebody. You know, I've been to the office twice, I think, during this time, and I've done most of the things that I've wanted to do in terms of, you know, going to the shops as little as possible and that kind of thing. So I don't know that I'm really going to want to have a massive change again and get straight back into routine. For example, I don't know that we're going to do the show. We're kind of all going back to the office from tomorrow. But I don't know if we're going to be doing this show every morning from the office. That may change.
Mm.
And for some of us, that's a welcome change.
A lot of things are going to change almost on a permanent level.
Yeah.
Things are going to be very different from now on. It's actually quite exciting that there's a bit of a shake-up. I'm sure people were getting bored of going to the office every day and having the exact same routine.
I wouldn't want to own office property now. There's going to be such a glut of office space available at cheap prices after this.
Well, there was already before this all happened.
Really?
Because, yeah, so Joburg in particular overdeveloped land.
Huh.
So we have a lot of retail space and commercial property space that's been standing empty.
Right.
And now, obviously, it's been exacerbated.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a price decrease in a lot of things. I just skimmed through this article, but there was a piece done around car rental companies and how they might have to sell off a lot of their stock at, you know, just cheap prices just so that they can get some money coming into the businesses, because right now, you know, they aren't getting a lot of people renting cars.
Wow. Yeah, they can always buy new cars at a later stage when they need them.
So contrary to what you're saying, I was speaking to one of our leading brokers, especially in Johannesburg, and they say business is still going. There is no reduction in the desire to take up office space.
What do they
do? They are brokers in the commercial industrial space.
Okay.
And they say no. People
you know
are still there. Is the demand for office space is not dropping off. Perhaps the prices may come down, but business is booming.
But it's, to me, it's the same as the sale of cars. So, and the sale of houses, because everybody might be, a lot of people are downgrading, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you still have to buy a new property or rent new property.
Yeah.
And somebody else is downgrading into your previous normal.
Yeah, there's someone richer than you who thinks your house is a downgrade. And you're selling because you actually need to downgrade further. So you are basically, you're like three rungs below that person.
Yeah, you're moving into someone else's previous dream office.
I need to get rich and get rich quick.
Like my mother said, there's always someone richer than you and thinner than you.
Uh-huh.
No, thinner not really, darling, but you know.
All right. In Sia's case, maybe not thinner. All right, let's get into some headlines for the morning and find out what's happening in the world around us. Oh, by the way, just quickly, some messages here. Someone has said they are drinking already. Hello, but they are in Los Angeles, so it's not a big deal. It's Derek. He says, I've been drinking all day.
Oh, wow.
But apparently now California's under some kind of curfew.
Yeah, I told you, till September.
Jesus.
Mm.
So no one says anything about the school supposed to be open today. They cancelled last minute, but the Western Cape said fuck that, and they're still reopening.
Yeah, that's right.
From Hugo. I don't know. Angie Motshekga, yeah. Really, she just looks so fucking confused. Every time I see that woman, and she has got a slight, like, squintiness going on. And whenever I see her, no, she really has. She's a very unfortunate-looking woman. She looks like a putzfrau, you know, like...
I would hate if my life came to the point where someone defined my looks as unfortunate.
She's very unfortunate-looking. Like, again, I don't know the woman... She might be She might be absolutely the sweetest person in the world, right? And really, ooh. I've never met Angie Motshekga, so I cannot say. I know less than nothing about her personality. But just looking at her, like she looks like a mess. She looks like she really has – she has a lot of tough decisions ahead of her. She's not handling it well. She just looks like she's been through the worst. She's probably 28, but she looks like that.
Well, I wouldn't want to be anyone in government right now.
Well, nobody seems to know what's going on with the schools, right? So I just think most parents will just go, well, screw that. I'm not going to send the kids in. Which, of course, then interferes with their work because you can't send your kids – I mean, you can't not send your kids to school if you have to go to work. What are they going to do? Sit and burn down your house?
So I know a colleague of mine is a family of three kids. And they have a domestic worker and an au pair, which I'm not surprised by because both of them work really hard and don't have much spare time on their hands.
Yeah.
And all of the weeks of lockdown and the hard work have fallen through the cracks for them because their au pair only found out after serving a normal week that she had tested positive. Her stepbrother had tested positive and she had been in contact with him. She'd hugged him and all of that. So the three kids were due to go back to school today, or, you know, if the rules had have stood. But they're back to square one with lockdown. They're back to level five.
What a mess. What a mess.
So frustrating.
And you think about how many people still can't cross provincial boundaries. Like, there are lots of people who work in Gauteng, for example, but they went home to, like, say, Limpopo or Mpumalanga or wherever. Now, they can come back for work, but then they can't cross back again. You know?
So, yeah, you obviously had to drive from Durban. Did you have to have a letter of sorts?
Yeah, and a lot of other people who I know have been in similar situations, but I think people realize what's more important to them, and that's just, you know, getting back to work and making things happen. I think we can't live in this state that we've been in. But back to the school situation as well, I think a lot of parents, we sometimes take the piss out of parents, but quite seriously, I think a lot of parents are so grateful at the prospect of having their kids out of the house. And
parents who totally love their kids, but they just, it's enough now, you know?
And I speak about that because I know it firsthand from my sister, you know, my sister who has a 8-9-year-old, my niece, and my sister's very capable. She's an amazing person. But from the onset of lockdown and having to homeschool her daughter, she said, I love you, but for us to still love each other, I can only teach you 3 days a week. And at first I thought, oh my gosh, what a selfish thing. But once I saw it in action, the fact that she just doesn't have the patience for it, it's just not working at all, I saw, yeah, this is a good move for you, actually.
There
so
is
I know
such a new appreciation for teachers. I think it's fantastic.
I know she's doing a jump for joy at the prospect of kids going back.
Well, you don't have to feel bad if you're a parent, you know. None of us are, and we're not going to judge you. We totally understand, like, kids are completely overrated to us. You can tell us you want to get rid of your kids, and we're like, yeah, we understand that.
Yeah, we thought so. We saw it.
We're not surprised.
Yeah, we're like those smug married people who say to people who aren't married, anyway, marriage is just great. It's wonderful.
No, but there's a new level. There's a one deeper level than that. Married people with kids. Oh, you just don't know laugh till you've seen your own baby. It's everything. I know. I was a boy and I became a man. Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. good.
Oh, no.
I hate that person.
No. I don't mind those people. I just don't want to socialize with them.
Do you not know the satisfying sound of silence on a Saturday morning as you sit in bed?
Uh-huh. My brother said to me he hasn't had a morning in where he's actually just sat in. He hasn't had one of those in 7 years. Six, 7 years, yeah. All right. The Western Cape Social Development Department told Cape Talk on Sunday that over 250 cases of child abuse have been reported since the start of lockdown. I don't know if that's a lot or a little because I don't know what to compare it to, but it's obviously awful. You know, one is too many. And with South Africa marking Child Protection Week, there are concerns that the COVID-19 pandemic may have affected the country's ability to respond to child abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Now, when we talk about child abuse, most parents externalize this and they go, well, child abuse is something that happens when someone else does something horrible to your child. But the scary thing about these 250 cases in the Western Cape is that these must have happened within the family.
Mm-hmm.
So you sometimes just have to, I know it sounds like an obvious thing to do for some people, but you don't externalize this, you actually internalize this. You realize that this is child abuse that's happening within families. It could be the very parents of that child who are the ones abusing it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's an extra horrible layer to just put on top of this. And I don't know, again, whether this is up or down on the national average for this time in that province. Someone sneezing their heads off there?
Sorry, I couldn't get to the mute button fast enough.
Shame, Sia.
That was like a premature ejaculation.
It's just a horrible thing. Horrible.
Sorry, I was trying to be professional, because this is not going to be the interrupt
what
the
was
news.
It last week when you started laughing in the middle of a story about, you know, people dying or something.
I'm sorry. Okay.
There we go.
Back to the news.
All right. Sia, the most inappropriate person to join in on the news. So kids have not been at school since the end of March when the lockdown to curb the spread of the pandemic was put in place. That means they've been staying at home. The cases are only the cases that have been reported to the department. Throughout the course of the last 9 weeks, there have been a total of 283 cases of child abuse in the Western Cape.
Yeah, you think about the fact that especially children are not able to report the incident or don't know how, or just don't have the means, or they're not old enough.
Yeah.
So there's so much undocumented abuse going on. Imagine living with someone really horrible during this time.
Yeah, like a wicked stepmother or something.
Ugh.
It's a stuff of nightmares and fairy tales. Okay, very important story. This, if you're thinking of hiring anyone anytime in the future who's got a degree from the University of Cape Town, think again. Because on Saturday, they said national benchmark tests would not be part of their admission criteria to the institution. Now, I don't know whether these national benchmark tests are any good, but it seems they're scrapping these for undergraduate admission at UCT. They have been a requirement up to now. Now they're getting rid of them. It's part of the COVID-19 pandemic on the testing program, and they've decided needs to go to make it more accessible. The university is considering amendments to the current admission criteria and expects this to be finalized soon. I mean,
amendments, in other words, dropping the standard, right?
Right. So soon you could be a drooling, complete ignoramus. You could be the kind of person who walks into furniture constantly, and you could come out. You could come out of the University of Cape Town with a degree in sociology. I'm looking forward to those days. Someone's going to come to me for a job and be like, and I'm going to go, oh, right, UCT. No, I'm afraid we don't have any jobs.
How will you be able to decipher what they said?
I won't. I'll just know that they make those noises. They must have a UCT degree.
In fairness, Rhodes has been letting drunkards in for 20 years, so don't worry about it. We already have
them. They have been perfectly capable drunks in society for the longest time. In fact, some of my favorite writers are drunks.
Your roommate, Mbulelo.
Exactly. If he is a drunk.
And you even live in the same area as someone who is that drunk. I mean, Christopher Hitchens, who's easily my favorite author of the last 100 years. Maybe George Orwell comes in there as well. But Christopher Hitchens used to drink at any time he felt he wanted to drink. And therefore, you probably could term him some kind of alcoholic. But there is no way that that guy's brain was addled. Even at the very end, he was smarter than 99% of the people who are walking around on two legs in the world right now. And certainly smarter than anyone who's ever come out of UCT. So, and he drank a lot.
He did.
All right. So there we are. That's no way to judge anyone. Then a couple of other stories. The protests in America, this is such a big deal, and we've got to talk about this at some point through the course of the day today. Some people are calling them protests, some people are calling them riots, but whatever you call them, it's definitely ugly. U.S. retailers, large and small, have closed some of their stores across the country. Of course, all of this is because people are protesting the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. This guy was basically suffocated to death by a policeman who put his knee on the guy's throat. And he was saying, I can't breathe, and died. And apparently this policeman had a bunch of complaints against him already that weren't investigated by the Minneapolis police. So some very serious questions. And it seems like it's breaking down, as these things always do, into a black versus white situation, racist cops. And then you've got people all over the world now having to try and prove that they're not racist by saying how much they're in support of the riots.
Now, there's a whole group of white women who've banded up to support the whole cause at the moment.
I'm sure all the racists are terrified that those white women are gathering up momentum against them. Mm. Even though very few of us can find an out-and-out racist. We have to mine your subconscious. We have to read through tweets of yours from 20 years ago, which is before Twitter was even invented, to try and figure out whether you're a racist. I mean, I can't name more than 10 actual out-and-out open racists. I don't know if you can, but it seems that clearly this is a problem of the subconscious that we need to still explore, because there are just many of them out there. And it's so easy to be against racism. I mean, obviously you're against racism. It's the default position now, surely. Isn't it?
I don't agree, but sure.
Shouldn't we?
Go on.
But Mulelo, shouldn't we all be against racism by default now, in 2020? I don't know how many people are walking around with, you know, Ku Klux Klan outfits or swastikas. There are people, sure. But it can't be even a majority in the most minority of neighborhoods. It's not something that people proudly wear on their sleeve, you know? I mean, you get people who say that they're socialists, or they are conservatives, or they're liberals, or they are moderates. But you don't get people running around saying, I am definitely a racist. Do you?
Well, I would say this. You can't get one person, and I hate to use such a crass example, to change their behavior for their health in one lifetime. Now, when you have a systemic thought train for 400 years, to think you can change it with a few nicey-nicey people can marry each other and their different skin colors is ludicrous.
I accept that there's a lot of history here, sure, and that's not going to go away in one generation. All I'm asking is, like, on the face of it, because racism is a face of it thing. It means I think differently about you because of your skin color, right? That's what racism is. So it's
sure.
I don't know how many people there are who are actually like, yeah, that policeman was right, and yeah, I feel like black people need to be treated differently to white people. How many people do you know who would actually say that publicly?
I think a lot of America
have the. You really think they would have the courage of their convictions? I mean, like, you really have to mine the internet to find real racism. You have to search high and low.
But hold on. So what say you of this? So if I told you in Alabama, it only became legal in the year 2001 for interracial couples to get married.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
outrageous.
You'd have to think. That's an entire area where that was the law.
But there are parts of
Kentucky, that's only 20 years ago.
There are parts of Kentucky where you can still have sex with your sister. And if you're going to take American law as the standard, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But I think you get the idea. Like, I see these people who I never thought they were racist anyway, so I don't know why they're protesting that they're against racism. Do you know what I mean? It's like, obviously, this death of George Floyd is disgusting to any semi-conscious human being. You could have a food processor put in your head and your brain mashed up, and you'd still know that George Floyd's death is a disgrace to humanity. You don't have to be like, I'm struggling to find the person in the world who's going, that George Floyd, he deserved that. Find me a person who says that. There won't, you're really going to struggle. I doubt very much even the most racist person deep down inside is going to be able to make those words come out of their mouth.
And can you hear that beeping?
That's someone stealing a car.
No, it must be my delivery.
Oh, shit, your alcohol's been delivered. Well, let's move on with the headlines. We can get to this later on because it's really a discussion that we have to have. EWN reporting, a truck has driven into protesters on the Minneapolis highway. So this is something else to think about.
Was that intentional?
I don't know, but it's really ratcheting up. It feels almost like people want this to... There are certain people who want this to explode into an all-out civil war.
It already is.
No, it's not already a civil war, but, you know, there are definitely...
It's exploded, though.
So a tanker truck drove through thousands of people marching on a Minneapolis highway to protest the death of George Floyd on Sunday before protesters dragged the driver from the cab and beat him. Jesus, what a world.
What the hell?
See why I wanted to be on that rocket that took off on Saturday? It didn't appear to have that any of the marchers were injured when the truck raced towards them, blowing its horn, sending protesters scattering before coming to a stop, according to a witness. Police arrived soon after and arrested the truck driver, who was taken to a local hospital. He had non-life-threatening injuries. Video of the incident shows protesters swarming the vehicle before it comes to a stop. The incident just underscores the volatile situation we have out there. Yeah, Minnesota just seems like an absolute disaster at the moment. And I wonder why Minnesota in particular. You know, it is one of those battleground states during the elections every year. So I want to know where... It just seems to me like there's a lot going on here that we're not entirely aware of. And it doesn't all have to do with George Floyd because... we didn't know who George Floyd was before this incident. And, you know, when Martin Luther King was killed, there were protests, but there weren't violent protests. And I know it was a different time, but Martin Luther King was undoubtedly a more important cultural and social figure than George Floyd knew he would become before he died. And it seems to me almost like this is just the spark that's lighting a powder keg. That's been brewing in the background for a long time. So we do have to get into that. The BBC reporting that the Queen was seen in public for the first time since lockdown. Guess what she was doing?
Ooh.
Riding on a
was
pony.
Was she buying wine?
She was riding on a pony.
Oh.
Yes, the 94-year-old. Yes, the 94-year-old monarch was pictured on a 14-year-old fell pony called Balmoral Fern over the weekend. She regularly rides the grounds at Windsor, which is said to be her favorite royal residence. The Queen has been isolating there with the Duke of Edinburgh, who's 98, and a small number of staff.
Surely it's a huge risk for someone of her age to be on a horse.
At that age, it's a risk to do anything, Leanne.
I think she's just going at maximum, like it's a walk. It's not really even a trot at this point.
If that horse had to take off and she fell off, she'd crumble.
Oh, yeah. But it's probably the most docile pony they could find.
And do you think that she sits on it with both her legs to the side?
No,
she
doesn't.
One side?
She can ride side saddle. She's an extremely good rider, the Queen. But I think she could actually handle, like, if she knows how to discipline the horse. The horse doesn't, unless you're a very uneasy rider, which she clearly isn't after 90-odd years of riding, she probably could handle it if the horse started misbehaving. That's why
I reckon my hips would have seized up by then.
Oh.
And I wouldn't be able to separate them to fit a horse between them.
On the other side of the class spectrum, a pony in Cockney slang is 25 pounds.
Really?
That's good to know. In Cockney, I love Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah. So if I say, I know your pony.
You're going to be down the horses.
You're going to give me 20 pounds.
Or a pony.
All right. Good.
Yeah, 25 pounds.
So there we go. The Queen was riding in a tweed jacket, jodhpurs, and white gloves and boots. And she was riding on her own. She just took a little ride there on her own.
Go, Queen.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I'd like to be able to do that in my 90s. As you say, our hips would have probably seized up by then.
In my 90s, I just want a 20-something-year-old masseuse who's just spends his days massaging my back all the time in a Speedo.
I don't even want a 20-year-old touching me now.
No, I don't want to do anything in my 90s. You must just be there in a little red little lacy number.
Oh my
Imagine
God,
how grossed out the 20-year-old's going to be.
Oiling my back.
See it in a lacy number. Can you imagine?
So gross.
That is what my retirement is for.
Guillermo wants to say he has three kids and they need some away time from each other. The constant bickering and arguing. Kids need other kids. But you see, this is the problem. If they go back to school now, they won't be able to be other kids with other kids because there's going to be social distancing applied at school. And that's going to be so weird for children.
Oh, imagine trying to police a playground of kids who are used to running around and touching each other.
They're going to be like confined to little cubes, almost like those grids that you get in the gym.
They need to be put in those Zorb balls.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it'll be so weird for kids to have to do that. It's so odd. So, okay, here's Anushka being honest. She says, I'm being judged by the other moms in my class for sending my grade 7 daughter back to school today. I'm not feeling guilty sending her to school. She needs to learn how to survive coronavirus. I will not be here forever. Kids must learn independence sooner rather than later. Anushka, I am 100% behind you. You have the right as a parent to decide what to do with your kid. And frankly, we've figured out that kids are hardly at all susceptible to this disease. So it's really about you deciding whether or not you want to be infected if your kid comes home. And if you've decided you don't mind, then it's absolutely right that you do this.
Yeah.
And you know what? No one can make that decision except the parent. Ayanda says, can you guys believe I ordered winter jackets online from Edgar's on the 1st of May? They SMS'd me last week Friday that they've been dispatched and I must look out for it this week. It took 5 weeks. Ayanda, you know what?
Sure.
Considering Edgar's isn't going to be in business, I'm glad that you're getting them at all.
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Gareth, you keep saying that. I've spoken to a few people up the ladder who say your tax dollars may go into saving them, but let's keep an eye on that.
Really? We're going to save too big to fail?
I've spoken to a very reliable source who says those talks are happening.
I think, Lulele, you might be in politics in secret.
Oh, God, no. You got to be. No, I don't have it.
Hmm.
I'm not closer enough.
you mentioned that before any of us did. If we squint, maybe we might see a little blade in Zimanda in you.
Oh, Tiko, Somanda.
Tiko.
So, Ruth says, my son is privileged to go to a private school, and it's got a total of 50 kids from grade 0 to grade 5. So he's going back to school this morning. I'm trying to get my ass out of bed. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a big adjustment.
Doing the school run after you're so not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wants to know, why was the Queen riding on Camilla's back? Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, wow.
Ulrich, nice one. Thank you. Very good.
Oh, wow.
Very good. Yes. Morning. I watched the Jeffrey Epstein documentary on Netflix over the weekend.
Yes.
Wow. I did not realize that sicko had his tentacles so deep in society. I'm so glad he's dead. That's from Sam. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to.
This web is just getting wider and wider and stickier with more people just being tied into it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly over the past couple of days, a little black book that belonged to Jeffrey Epstein has been released, and there were a couple of South African names and South African addresses in it as well. We know already he had, I think, like two girls from Cape Town specifically, but now these were South African businessmen who are allegedly tied into it and who were in full support of him. Jeffrey, we will not be hearing the last of him anytime soon.
Well, I would love to see what's in that little black book. I just want to know. out of pure interest. And I also want to know, you know, these girls that he's meant to have rented out and used as bait for all these politicians. I mean, surely they have some stories, and it's time for them to tell those stories. I know that not all of them would be comfortable doing that, but
yeah, there'll be a lot who are in very different situations now.
Sure.
And perhaps their husbands or children won't even have an inkling of it.
Yeah.
And they never want them to.
I mean, what a story they could tell, you know?
But let's be honest, the type of people who we know will be implicated, it just has happened with the Vatican, because they've shut up a lot of people that are still alive. The money they'll throw at keeping people quiet, there is no check they will not write. There is no check, because it happened in the Vatican, and this is no different. Well, they will throw billions at it.
Yeah, they probably will. I mean, there's a lot of politicians involved and very successful business people, and these are not people who don't have the means to squash a story.
Yeah, these aren't people waiting at Tops for today to open.
Yeah. I'm going to watch the documentary, and we'll talk about this a bit later on. And then James says, I stay in an estate in Cape Town. We don't even need to leave the estate to get cigarettes. Wow, that sounds like a good place to live. He says, I'm getting hammered today as well. My girlfriend has to study. She's writing exams tomorrow. So it's me, the kitten, and a bottle of Johnny Walker. Nice, James.
God bless you, James. God bless you.
I know that it's just... It's so weird to me, and Leanne, please don't judge me on this, because I wouldn't judge you for doing it. I'm not judging James either. I do not see the point of drinking on your own.
You know what? It helps me creatively.
Really?
For sure. I'm sort of very tied up, and what do they say? I'm like so in my head. I'm quite rigid in my thinking, and as soon as I have just a little bit of something to drink, it changes my mindset completely. I'm able to relax, to stop worrying about what people think, and it helps me even creatively.
All right, no, Gareth, as I said, I'm not judging. It's just interesting, because I always associate, for me, alcohol is completely associated with social interaction.
Do you know what? It's the same for me. Like I told you that because I was really craving cigarettes at one point, someone recommended that I try grass, whatever people call it now.
Yo, Leanne, you sound so old.
And I can't actually imagine sitting on a couch stoned by myself. I wouldn't enjoy that. So I completely see your point.
You were going to say, Mbulelo?
To Leanne's point, Hunter S. Thompson, have you ever seen a log of Hunter S. Thompson's day?
Yeah, he just drank the whole time.
And
he was a genius. I mean,
I'll see if we can find the link. Yeah. It is insane.
Yeah, that's a
good
point.
So maybe Leanne's onto something.
Sure, absolutely. Like I said, it's certainly not judging. What the hell do I know? But for me, in my head, it's always linked to social interaction. Otherwise, I don't get it, so... it would be weird to me to sit here on a weekday and even have – maybe it's also because I drink tequila, and that's not something you would drink for the sake of drinking.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's
– All right. The kids – Brett Weinstein, apparently, and that's how you pronounce it, so don't write to me and say it's Weinstein. It's actually not. He says it's Weinstein. Brett Weinstein, who's an academic, he's got a podcast out, which is an excellent analysis of the riots and underlying issues. So thank you, Sean. I'll listen to that. You've got to watch this documentary, Gareth. The girls are telling their story in it. That's from Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. I will. I'll take a look. Okay.
Wow.
I don't like people, so I'm all good drinking on my own. That's what James says as a follow-up. And then someone else saying that the Epstein documentary on Netflix is boring. For a story that big and that layered, it made a really boring documentary filled with just testimonies. Meh. Meh. That's Sandile. Okay. Thanks, Sandile. And then drinking on your own is like having sex on your own. It's not pointless, but it's also not as much fun. That's interesting. That's very interesting. That's a good analysis from Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. All right, we've got to get to the rest of the show. We've got a busy day today for you, and we've got some interesting stuff to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about the rocket that went up, because that was very exciting, and if you watched that live, you probably feel as interested in it as I am. And we're going to speak to Dr. Brett Lederle, who's a chiropractor, a health and wellness coach, and Bulelo has a story about what he did this weekend that links to that too. So stick around. Good stuff coming up all around. And you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090.
CliffCentral.com.